I invite you to take your Bibles and open them with me this morning to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, we'll begin our series through this psalm this morning. And for those of you who are already grabbed your table talk for this coming week, it looks like they're also focusing on Psalm 23 as part of their introduction there. So, considering Psalm 23, as soon as you found that, then you can flip over also to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Before we turn our attention to God's word this morning, let's ask him for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now open up your word together, it's our prayer that you will give us your spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. Power is like the working of your mighty strength, O Lord, which you exerted in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in the heavenly realms. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 23, beginning with verse 1, let's pay careful attention because this is God's holy word. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And now flipping over to John chapter 10, beginning with verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I received from my Father. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. People of God, Psalm 23 is a beautiful psalm of peace, a beautiful psalm of comfort and assurance, that peace and that comfort and that assurance that comes from the Lord being your shepherd. It's probably one of the most popular psalms in all of Scripture. In all of the Psalms, it's probably one of the most well-known chapters in all of Scripture. And as Alexander McLaren put it, it has dried many tears and has supplied the mold into which hearts have been poured and for peaceful faith. It's comforting for us as we look at Psalm 23 and as we go through personal trials, as we suffer or go through difficult times. Whether that's illness or loss of a loved one, or as we ourselves are the ones who are facing death, we have the comforting words of Psalm 23 here. But in addition to being comforting, this psalm is a a confident declaration by David. It's called a psalm of confidence. Now, what does that mean exactly? Well, when you're talking about a psalm of lament, psalms of lament are sung from the pits of life, when you're going through the difficulties. Why is this happening to me, O Lord? This isn't the way it's supposed to be. If you have your Bibles open, you can look back to Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? That's a psalm of lament, a crying out to the Lord. So that's on the one hand. On the other hand, you have a psalm of thanksgiving. And a psalm of thanksgiving is what you sing once you look back and you see how the Lord has brought you out, how he has delivered you, how he has saved you. You have turned my mourning into dancing, a psalm of thanksgiving. And right in between a psalm of lament and a psalm of thanksgiving is Psalm 23, a psalm of confidence. Right in between why is this happening and thank you, Lord, for getting me out of that situation is this psalm of trust and confidence. Still in the midst of the valley, but confidently knowing that God will deliver me, knowing that he will save me, he will get me through this. Even though I haven't yet experienced that deliverance, that salvation, I know it's coming because I place my trust in the Lord, who is my shepherd. The obstacles or the difficulties or the trials of life pale in comparison to the shepherd who's leading me through. You don't notice the dangerous walls of the valley as you're following your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, your Lord and your shepherd. There's no reason to fear because God is with you. Now this morning, if you're here this morning and you're not quite at that point of having that kind of confidence and trust in the Lord, we're about to see why David can sing this song of confidence, even as he's going through the valley of the shadow of death, even though he's going through a difficult time. We're going to see how David can sing this song of confidence and how this is also Christ's song as well. And because of that, it's our song. Because of Christ, we can confidently sing Psalm 23. Because of Christ as our good shepherd, we can confidently sing Psalm 23. And as we look at this psalm this morning, first of all, we'll see a psalm of David. Secondly, we'll be looking at the Lord. And then we'll wrap things up by looking at how he is my shepherd. And so first, a psalm of David. As you have your Bibles opened and you look at the beginning of this psalm, what we see right at the beginning is a psalm of David. And I want you to notice how you also see a lot of numbers. And chapter 23, you see verses, and you see headings on each of the psalms. The chapter numbers, the headings, each of these things have been added to our Bibles, added by the editors, to help us as we're reading through Scripture. And it might be a temptation for us to think, well, you know, the titles or the headings of each of the Psalms, a Psalm of David, a Psalm of David, or of David, those are added by the editors too. But that's not the case. I appreciate how the ESV puts it here because it includes a Psalm of David within verse 1 of Psalm 23. That title, a Psalm of David, is part of the original Hebrew. Psalm 23, verse 1 in Hebrew reads, a Psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. And so what we see is even that heading, that title, whatever you want to call it, it's part of God's word. And throughout the Psalms, as you know, we've got 73 different Psalms written by David. And 13 of those Psalms refer to specific events in his life, like we saw this morning with Psalm 51, the Psalm of David after his sin with Bathsheba. Specific events in his life as he's crying out to the Lord. And here, once again, Psalm 23 is a Psalm of David. Now, practically speaking, what does that do for us? What does that mean for us here this morning? What that does for us is it connects us with a real person. This isn't just a random song or some disconnected words. It's a song written by someone who has gone through a lot of the same things that we have faced, that we are going through. And it not only connects us with a real person, but it connects us with a real problem. Sure, David is from a different time, from a long, long time ago, and there's a lot of things that were different way back when. There's also a lot of things that are the same. The same struggles, the same doubts, the same temptations that we still face today, David has gone through. And in the Psalms, in Psalm 23, he's putting into words, often in ways that are even stronger than we would dare say, the emotions that he is feeling as he goes through life. The struggles, the temptations, the failures, the fears. David was the youngest of his family, which meant that he got stuck watching the sheep. Boys and girls, how many of you here this morning are the youngest in your family? And when you think about your older brother and sister, they get to do things that you don't get to do. They get to do the easy jobs and you get stuck with the messy and the dirty and the hard jobs, right? Well, David is the youngest. And his older brothers, they got to do things David didn't get to do. And he got stuck watching the sheep. Now, some of you this past week helped clean out the goat barn over at the fair. It was dusty, it was dirty, the straw and the sawdust was clean for the most part, but it was a messy job. Now imagine not just cleaning out a barn that doesn't even have goats anymore, but living in a barn with sheep, with goats, as your full-time job. It's not like the nice pictures we have hanging in our living rooms of green pastures and white, fluffy, clean sheep. No, being a shepherd was a stinky job. Nobody wanted to do it. That's why David, the youngest, got stuck with that job. And it was a constant babysitting, taking care of these sheep who are constantly trying to wander away. It was a full-time job, a busy job, a stinky job. And David is given the task of being a shepherd. He grew up being a shepherd. When we look at 1 Samuel 16, God reminds Samuel that man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And as Samuel is going through all of these sons who look like great potential kings for the people of Israel, he ends up asking Jesse, are these all the sons you have? What did Jesse say? Well, there's still the youngest. He's tending the sheep. And then Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy with a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. He is the one." So here's David going from being a shepherd out in the fields to being king, the shepherd king of Israel, as he's often described, the Lord's anointed. But that doesn't mean that he no longer has troubles or difficulties. This is David who wrote this psalm, the one who still has difficulties and struggles, the one who faces problems, the one who turns and puts his trust and his confidence in the Lord. And this is David's song of confidence. Like I mentioned, nestled right in between "Why is this happening to me?" and "Thanks for getting me out of that, Lord," is Psalm 23. Placing our trust and our confidence in the Lord, no matter what obstacles we face, what difficulties of life we're going through, those take a back seat compared to the confidence we have in our God. And what we see in this psalm is this unwavering confidence and assurance and trust and comfort in the Lord's ability and willingness to deliver from whatever situation we find ourselves in. Even though we haven't experienced that delivered, we know he will because he said he would. There's no reason to fear because he is with you. Now, if you don't have this kind of confidence this morning, we're about to see why David has this kind of trust in the Lord, why he turned to the Lord, trusted him, why he can sing this song, Psalm 23, this song of confidence, why he says that the Lord is my shepherd. And that brings us to our second point as we focus in on the Lord. David describes his relationship with the Lord in terms of a shepherd and his sheep. Now, we know that David was a shepherd. He knows what it means to take care of the sheep, to be out in the fields. He even knew or was known as the shepherd king of Israel. But what I want you to notice this morning is how David isn't writing Psalm 23 from the perspective of a shepherd. He's placing himself in the place of one of those sheep. One of those needy, stinky sheep is where David is putting himself. He's writing it as one of the sheep. Who's the shepherd in the psalm? Well, the shepherd is the Lord. And if you have your Bible open, notice how the Lord there, Lord, is in all capital letters. Now, whenever in Scripture, well, whenever in our translations, ESV translations, you have all capital letters, that means Lord there is referring to the name of the Lord, Yahweh. And that name of the Lord, Yahweh, is the most sacred and the most distinctive name for God. The name of the Lord, which refers to who he is and all that he does. It's all wrapped up in his name. That's why in the third commandment, as we read this morning, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Or when we pray the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be your name. It's all that God is and all that he has done, all wrapped up in his name. And because that name Yahweh was the most sacred and the most distinctive of God's names, no one ever spoke it out loud. The Jews had a superstitious dread of using the name of the Lord. Leviticus 24, verse 16 said, "Anyone who blasphemes the name of the Lord must be put to death." And they interpreted that as to mean anyone who uses the name of the Lord must be put to death. So as they read Scripture and they came across the name of the Lord, Adonai, they would replace that name or substitute Lord instead of saying that name. They would say Adonai instead of Yahweh. And when you're talking about the original Hebrew was just consonants. It didn't have any of the vowels. So you had the consonants there for God's name. But because it was never pronounced out loud, even to this day, we really don't know what vowels belong with those consonants or how that name would sound. In the past, some people have filled in vowels and they've come up with a name, Jehovah. Today, when they fill in the vowels or the consonants, they believe that the name of the Lord is Yahweh. But when it comes down to it, it's one of those questions we'll have to wait till we get to heaven to find out the answer to, of how is God's name pronounced? What does this name mean? Exodus 3, God introduces himself as I am who I am, and it points to the unchangeableness of God, the steadfastness of God, who he is. It does not change. He is the same, consistent, steadfast, no matter what we are going through in life. He is the rock. He is the stable, unchanging God. Which means he's also unchangeable in his relationship with us as his people, the sheep of his pasture. I am your God. You are my people. Nothing is going to change that. In John 10, Jesus mentions how the sheep are held in his hand and no one can snatch them out of my hand. And it's getting at that promise, that faithfulness, that covenantal faithfulness of that relationship that we have between us and our God, us and our shepherd. And that's the name that David is using. He's using Yahweh, which is the covenantal name, and stresses that faithfulness of God. The guarantee of the fact that God is and will remain the God of His people, unchangeable in His grace, unchangeable in His faithfulness. Now, people of God, what else in your life can you point to with that kind of solidness, steadfastness, unchangeableness, consistency? Many times it seems like our own lives are surrounded by change. The roller coaster of life and emotions seems more like a constant flux and change rather than anything that is steadfast or stable. But the confidence and the assurance that we have is in the unchanging God who we belong to. And that's the comfort and the confidence and the trust that is found in the Lord, in Yahweh. And it echoes back to who God says He is and what He has done. Not only does His name say that He is faithful and constant and unchanging, but His actions have proved His faithfulness and His consistency. Time and time again, from generation to generation, God has proven His faithfulness to His people. Now that's what His name means. But what does this name refer to? The name of the Lord refers to all that God is, all that He has done. Something very interesting happens when you refer to the name of the Lord, Yahweh, as your shepherd. On the one hand, you have the aspect of God of creation. There the Hebrew word is Elohim, or it's translated as God. At creation, God, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, brought all things into existence out of absolutely nothing. Everything that is was conceived by God, brought into existence through the Word, His Son, and sustained by the Holy Spirit. So there you have the supremacy and the transcendence of God as creator and sustainer of all things. And on the other hand, and more specifically, David is using God's covenantal name here, Yahweh. So not only is God the creator and sustainer of all things, but He's also intimately connected and in relationship with His people, keeping His promises to deliver, to save, making Himself known to them through His Word, preserving them, keeping them, holding them in the palm of His hand. And that's the name that David chooses to use in this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. And notice how he begins this psalm with the Lord and how he ends this psalm with the Lord. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, forever. You have this entire psalm bookended or embraced with the transcendence of God, His supreme power, authority, ability. And in the middle of that is where you find this comfort and this assurance. Because it is this Lord, Yahweh, who is also my shepherd. There we go from the complete transcendence of God to the complete immanence, complete with us, caring for us, shepherding us. This is the God that David is saying, He is my shepherd. What a profound statement that is. Think about that for just a moment, that David can say, the Lord, creator of the entire universe, is my shepherd. And what a profound thing for us in Jesus Christ to be able to say exactly the same thing. That the Lord is my shepherd. That brings us to our final point this morning. Throughout Scripture, God has been described as a shepherd. You see it reflected throughout Scripture. That's the imagery that is used. Even when you go all the way back to Genesis 49, verse 24, his bow remained steady, his strong arm stayed limber, because of the hand of the mighty one of Jacob, because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel. So God's been referred to as a shepherd throughout Scripture, but what is unique here is that the Lord, Yahweh, is being described as my shepherd. All of a sudden, things become very personal. This psalm allows believers to express their thankfulness and trust and confidence in the Lord as their shepherd. That everything surrounding who God is and what he does, his faithfulness, his covenantal love, it's not just for a general large group of believers or for the flock as a whole, but it's for this individual sheep. It's for each member, each one who places their faith in Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd. And when we say that, we're implying that I am one of his sheep. I am his lamb. It's a profession of faith. A declaration of who we belong to. We belong to the Lord. He is my shepherd. I am his. I belong to him in life and in death. To my faithful shepherd, Jesus Christ. He protects. He provides. He feeds me. He guides me. He looks after me. I have everything that I need. And David takes this metaphor from his own perspective. The Lord Yahweh is my shepherd, I am his sheep. And years later, as we see in John 10, Jesus takes up that same metaphor and he says, I am the good shepherd. John 10, verse 14, I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Think about this, people of God. I mentioned how Psalm 23 is a psalm of confidence. David hasn't experienced that deliverance yet. It's not a psalm of thanksgiving looking back, hey, thank you, Lord, for getting me through that situation. It's a psalm of confidence anticipating the Lord's deliverance. And David is praying, Lord, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. How is that prayer, how is that song of confidence in the Lord fulfilled? What is the answer to the prayer of Psalm 23? The answer is Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. David's prayer, our prayer, is answered in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, who brings us through the valley of the shadow of death, who is the reason we fear no evil, because who? You are with me. I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus Christ is the expression not only of the complete power and transcendence of God, who he is and all he does, the perfect revelation of all that God is and does, but he is also the expression of the complete I am with you always, intimacy, immanence of God. I am the good shepherd. I am your shepherd. And you are my sheep. And no one can snatch you out of my hand. I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. There may be some of you here this morning who at this point in your life aren't experiencing this kind of confidence and assurance in the Lord as your shepherd. If you don't have this kind of trust in the Lord, or maybe from all outward appearances, you're one of the sheep. You're doing the sheep thing. You're part of the flock. You're going through the motions, but you don't quite place your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Or have that confidence and that assurance that no matter what I face, he's going to bring me through. If that's you, then now is the time to turn to your Lord and Savior, to place your faith and your trust in him, in Jesus as your shepherd, as your Savior. That's the only place to find this assurance and this confidence and this comfort that we're talking about this morning. The only place is turning to Christ in faith, submitting to Him, letting Him lead you and guide you as the shepherd of your life, letting the Lord be your shepherd, my shepherd. Now, as we wrap up this morning, the immediate application for us here today is that we can turn and trust in the Lord as our shepherd. We can trust Him to provide whatever we stand in need of each and every day. And it's not just the material things that we stand in need of that we know the Lord will take care of and provide for, but it's also the eternal, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, kind of things. I will fear no evil, for You are with me. The things that we see fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The trust, the confidence, the assurance, because the Lord is my shepherd and there is nothing I need. There is nothing I lack because He's my shepherd. Have you discovered this, people of God, in your own life? Have you found the Lord's perfect provision? The confidence and the trust and the assurance we have because of Christ. The way He provides for each and every one of our needs, no matter what they are or what we're going through or what we're facing. Trusting Him to lead and guide you through the hurt or the pain and the everyday sorts of things. Or are you trying to live your life as if you have no need for a shepherd? We know the Lord has provided Christ for us. And the confidence that we have is that He will provide and He will care for us. The confidence and the assurance that we have no matter what we face comes ultimately from the fact that Jesus Christ is our good shepherd. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come before You, O Lord. And we thank You for the comfort that is ours because of Jesus Christ. We thank You for not only being our Lord, but also being our shepherd, for being our Savior. Lord, help us to live each and every day in light of this assurance, in light of this comfort that is ours in Christ alone. And hear our prayer, O Lord. Because we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.